As part of the Kindle the Fire series, as you know, the verse that has been focused upon was from Luke chapter 12 and verse 49. I came to cast fire upon the earth, and how I wish it was already kindled. God wants the fire to be kindled in our lives, and Jesus Christ has come into this world to cast fire on earth. And he was telling, I wish it was already kindled. He wants every situation in our lives, every person to be able to have this kindle the fire experience. And as part of this series, we are going to continue our series today with one of the another important elements of understanding about the fire, which is Holy Spirit like fire. Let us see that from Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11 altogether, please. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11. Let us read this verse together as it is projected. You can read in your language as well. I'll ask you to read in your language. But first, let us read it in English here as it is projected. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11. All together, please. As for me, I baptize you with water for repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I am not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Any other language, if you have, could you please read it? Any other? Yes. I know there are other languages as well. Wonderful. So many languages with the same words. They mean the same. Whether it is in English or Telugu or Urdu or Gujarati or Nepali, whichever language that we were reading, God's word is so wonderful. We are thankful to God for the translation of the word of God in various languages as well. We should never forget how God has given us these versions of the Bible so that we may be able to understand his word much clearly. Here it says, who is saying this? John the Baptist is mentioning. He says, he was the one who was baptizing with water or in water for repentance, no doubt. But he was telling that the one who is coming after him, that is no other than Jesus Christ, that he is the one who will baptize in the Holy Spirit or with the Holy Spirit and fire. Sometimes there is a confusion as to is it Holy Spirit and fire or is it Holy Spirit who is fire and many kind of questions that come arise. If you read the next verse also, he talks about the judgment that he is trying to put forth, that he's going to separate the wheat from the chaff, and so the fire could also mean judgment. But Holy Spirit is also referred to as fire. And today we are going to meditate on this important element, or for that matter, to be more precise, the person of the Holy Spirit. The person of the Holy Spirit. Let us never use the word it. Holy Spirit is not it. He is a person. Person of the Holy Spirit. You can never try to use the word it and try to make it a thing or anything like that. But he is God himself. He is the representation of God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We have to give equal importance because he is one God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one God. God in three persons, blessed Trinity, as the songwriter says. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Some focus so much on God the Holy Spirit that they don't give importance to to God the Father and God the Son as much. They say, oh, Holy Spirit only. And some others go to the other extreme and say, don't even talk about Holy Spirit. Why? What is going on? Is he not a person of the triune God? He is. And why are we so much trying to totally go away or go so much into that we are not able to have a balanced view of the Godhead? And today we are going to look at this important aspect of who this person of the Holy Spirit is. Holy Spirit of God, to be more precise, Holy Spirit of God. He is represented in various ways. He is not another God by himself other than God the Father and God the Son. If you read Romans, let us look at it. Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. Please read Romans chapter 8 and verse 9.
However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in
Spirit
you.
Spirit of God dwells in you, yes.
But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him.
Spirit of Christ. Whether you call Holy Spirit, or whether you call Spirit of God, or whether you call Spirit of Christ, mean the same. Why? Because they are one. The Spirit of Christ. When Jesus Christ was in person, he was physically in the form of a human being. But when Jesus Christ left, he said, I will send you the Holy Spirit of God. Or in other sense, the Spirit of Christ himself dwelling in us. Not just seeing him in person or in physical form, but the Spirit of Christ or Spirit of God in us. And that is what the greatest thing about understanding about the Holy Spirit of God is. He is very essential for us to understand the important element. John chapter 7 and verse 39, as one of the verses I just want to share with you.
But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For the Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified.
Yes, Jesus at that time, during those times, there was a very distinct understanding about Jesus Christ. He was physically there, and then he was saying that I'm going to give you the Spirit of God. Doesn't mean that the Spirit of God didn't exist. If you read Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2, it says the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So Spirit of God existed from the beginning. And the Spirit of God and the breath of God that was given to man made him a living soul, it says in the book of Genesis. When God created man, he breathed into his nostrils and he became a living soul. Jivatma, you know. He is a living soul. Now we have a man who has spirit as well. The small s. God who is spirit. Capital S, God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The small s, God is spirit, capital S, and we should worship him in small s, spirit. So human beings are also given spirit, atma. We have meditated as one of the first sermons in this particular series from Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 27 as a reminder for us. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 27, it says,
the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the innermost parts of his being.
The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, or the candle of the Lord. Candle, remember when we have been meditating on this important aspect of what is a human being? And human being has a spirit. Spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. And after the fall of man, after Adam and Eve committed sin, every generation after Adam and Eve are born as human beings, but with a candle or their spirit unlit. There's a candle that is unlit. The spirit of man is a candle of the Lord. He's a candle. So there is a candle in each one of our lives, but that candle is not kindled. And God wants to kindle that candle in our lives, or kindle our spirit. And for that, Psalm chapter 18 and verse 28 says, Psalm chapter 18 and verse 28. I'm just reminding you some of the verses that we have meditated on, and we'll get into the main topic very soon.
For you, light my lamp. The Lord my God illumines my darkness.
Verse 28, Psalm 18, 28. For thou wilt light my candle. If you have King James Version, it says, thou wilt light my candle. In other words, I will light my lamp. So the candle of man is spirit, but God is the one who is going to kindle or light the candle. You have a lighter and you use the lighter in order to be able to produce fire onto the candle. So now the Spirit of God is the one who is kindling the spirit of man. That is what I want to explain to each one of us. Every human being has a spirit. Just like you have a body, you have life, which is soul. There is a spirit in every human being. Remember that. Every human being, God has given a spirit because that is how he created. But because of the sinful nature, that spirit is dead. Or that spirit is not lighted. And that spirit or the candle of man has to be lit. And God's word says, it is God who lights our candle. And that fire that is put on our candle or our spirit is none other than the Spirit of God. God wants to work wonderfully in our lives. And that experience of our candle or our spirit being lit by the Spirit of God is none other than being born again. A new life that God has given. So in your list of items that you have in your sermon notes, the first thing that we can understand or we can learn about the person and work of the Holy Spirit is we should be born again and baptize. Two B's, easy to remember. The Spirit of God is enabling us to be born again. Meaning, the other understanding about being born again, many times people think that this word born again is a denominational word. A group of people among Christians use that word. No, it is biblical. Being born again, meaning physically a person is born into this world through the mother's womb, but this particular experience, the spiritual experience of your spirit being kindled by God's spirit is what is called born again experience. We should be born again. And that is how a new life comes in. All of us are living beings, but we may not be spiritually living. And that is what God wants us to be able to experience it. We need to be born again. What is this born again experience? John chapter 3, wonderfully Jesus talks to Nicodemus in that particular chapter where Jesus has a conversation with him. And he says that they that is born of flesh is flesh, but they that are born of the spirit is spirit. Verse chapter 3 and verse 6. Please read in any other language. John chapter 3 and verse 6. Atma Mulamaga Janminche, born of the Spirit. Capital S is small s, Spirit. We should be born again. And that is what Jesus says in verse 11. Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again. You must be born again. There is no other choice, my dear. You have a choice. No, it is a must. You know, have you heard of this word must? When do you use the word must? When you have to go through that experience. So here he says, you must be born again. What does it say? Verse 7, please read any other language. The next verse also. Yeah, born again or born from above, tirigi janminchadam. Even in verse 8, towards the end, he says, so is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Spirit of God would enable our spirit to be enlightened, to be able to be living. And that Spirit of God is being kindled by the Holy Spirit of God. He's the one who's putting the fire onto our spirit in order to be able to experience this. We also read about the baptism. Being baptized as well. What is this experience of baptism? Baptism of the Holy Spirit. That is also another doctrine. A lot of people try to be concerned about. What is this baptism of the Holy Spirit? The baptism of the Holy Spirit was also another important element that John the Baptist was mentioning about Jesus Christ, that he will baptize in with the Spirit and with fire. He's the one who is baptizing. If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. This experience of baptism is mentioned here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13.
For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of the one Spirit.
Yes, we are all baptized into one body. Those who are born again are all baptized into one body. By who? By one Spirit. By one Spirit, you are baptized into one body. Who is that body? None other than Jesus Christ. When you are born again, He is enabling you to experience the joining into one body as members of that one body. And that one body, we are baptized into that one body by the Spirit of God. He will baptize with the Spirit to enter into the body of Christ, to join into the body of Christ. And many things I'm going to share with you very soon about this. What is this understanding about the baptism of the Holy Spirit? The second thing that we can learn about the person and the work of the Holy Spirit is He's the one who is sealing us and sanctifying us. We are experiencing the sealing and the sanctifying of the Holy Spirit of God. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And verse 13, he says, in him you also, after listening to the message of truth, listen to this very carefully. In him, that is in Jesus Christ, you also, maybe it includes you as well, who's sitting here. After listening to the message of truth, we need to listen to the word of God. Listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Listen to this. Having also believed, not only hearing, listening, but believed. The moment you have heard the gospel and have believed that Jesus Christ has come into this world to die for us on the cross of Calvary, and having believed in Him and asking Him to come into our hearts, He will light our candle. You were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise. You were sealed in Him. The sealing that was done because of the Holy Spirit of God, who was a promised Holy Spirit. Verse 14, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance. If you have any other translation, it uses the word earnest. Some other translations uses the word guarantee. The pledge of your inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of His glory. Wow. You may wonder, how can I understand these two verses? Try to read in your language, 13 and 14. So it says here, having heard and believed, the seal in Him. What does it say? The seal? What is the word for seal that is used? More. What is it in any other language? Mudra. Mudra means seal. There is a seal that was put forth. The kind of a seal that He was given was sealed. We were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge or a guarantee or an earnest or in your language. What is it for pledge? Pledge in verse 14. It says Sanchakaruvu. In Telugu it says Sanchakaruvu. What is it? It's a pledge. Earnest. Some people have the word names also with earnest. You may wonder, how do you spell that word earnest? What is this earnest? I know people whose names have the word earnest in them. It's a wonderful name. What is this earnest? Earnest means a pledge or a guarantee. When you buy a house, you give a down payment. Yes, down payment. You give the down payment in order to be able to tell that I'm going to take this house. This is my house. But I'm going to give you a guarantee. For example, you went to a place and you wanted to fill in gas, and suddenly you notice that you forgot your wallet or something. And then you say, okay, sir, I'll give you my watch or something. Keep it with you. I'll just go get it. I'll keep it. You keep it. I'll come and take my thing, whatever I need to do. I'm giving something to you in order to give a guarantee that I'm going to come back. That is what God did. While we are here on this earth, the moment we have received the gospel of Jesus Christ, having believed that Jesus came into this world to die for me on the cross of Calvary for my sins, God is saying, I'm going to seal you and give you Holy Spirit in you as a guarantee. And that guarantee is when he comes back, he will see that seal, wherever he put that seal, he'll say, yeah, this is mine. Redemption. Redemption, that's what it says in verse 14. As a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession. We are his possession. He has sealed us. He has sealed us so much that when he comes back, he's going to take us into his fold. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse. Is it 2 Corinthians, I think? 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21 and 22. Please read.
Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us is God, who also sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge.
As a pledge. Again, please read it in any other language. 21 and 22 of 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Okay, any other language, please? Again, the word pledge, guarantee, sanchakaruvu. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 as well. 5:5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 5. Now he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave to us the Spirit as a pledge. The Spirit of God is given to us, not only to seal us, but also to guarantee to that we are his possession. It is a guarantee, my dear. This is not my words. God's word is saying it. What a wonderful thing it is to be able to have the Spirit of God within us. The moment we experience the Spirit of God within us, we are all God's possession, but we are waiting for the redemption of our bodies as well. One day Jesus Christ is going to come back. When he comes back, he looks at those who have the seal of the Holy Spirit of God within them. What a wonderful experience that is. Do you have the Spirit of God within you, my dear? If not, maybe this is the day for you to have that experience of having the Holy Spirit of God within you. And sanctification of the Holy Spirit, the moment he is in you and he has sealed you as a guarantee, he's sanctifying us also. While he is within us, he wants to keep on sanctifying us. The sanctification is an important element in our lives. And it says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. Quickly I read 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. According to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood, may grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure. According to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, the person of God, the head, person of the Holy Spirit, and the work of the Holy Spirit, God is working in us through sanctification. The sanctification process is cleansing. Cleansing process. Sanctify means making us holy. As simple as that. He has sealed us and he is sanctifying us. My dear brothers and sisters, we need to be able to experience the sanctification. When we have the Spirit of God within us, we need to experience the cleansing of our sins on a daily basis. The first time you have come to accept Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, that is salvation experience. After that, while we are still in our body, we are bound to temptation in our lives, for which we need to keep on asking God on a daily basis to keep cleansing us. Lord, cleanse me by your precious blood. Sanctify me by your Holy Spirit. And that is what it says here. To obey Jesus Christ, to be able to guide it in his way, and he wants us to experience that. So first, born again and baptized, then sealed and sanctified, And thirdly, that we are going to learn is to be able to experience filled and fruit bearing. We need to experience the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. The filling of the Holy Spirit of God. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And it says in verse 18, please read.
And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit.
Be filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit of God. So much so that we are full of the Holy Spirit of God. We become empty, my dear. We go through emptiness in our lives. We go through dryness in our lives. And God is saying that I want to fill you. But do not be drunk with wine, for this is dissipation. Most of the time, people want to try to fill themselves, fill their spirits with the things of this world. But the Bible says, be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Be controlled by the Holy Spirit of God, in other words. When somebody is drunk, when they drink a lot, what happens? They are controlled by that particular intoxication of the alcohol that they had it. They don't know sometimes what they are speaking. They don't know where they are walking because they are controlled by what they have taken in. But the Bible says, if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you will be controlled by the Spirit of God. Every word that you speak will be controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. My dear, it is very essential for us to be able to be controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. As you are controlled by the Holy Spirit of God, what you speak is going to be different. When you might see people, when they speak gibberish, you know that, okay, this person seems to be drunk. This person doesn't seem to speak properly. Why? You know that that person is drunk. You will know a person is filled with the Holy Spirit by the way he speaks as well. In verse 19 it says, 18 it says, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another. How do you speak? What do you speak? If you have the Holy Spirit of God within you, if you are filled with the Holy Spirit of God, the words that come out of your mouth will be told. Easily people can sense that this person is talking with the filling of the Holy Spirit or not filled with the Holy Spirit. Let us question ourselves. What are we talking? How are we speaking to one another? Are we speaking in such a manner that it is bringing glory to God? Or are we trying to say that, oh, we are acting as if we are like worldly people with words that we speak, which one can easily know whether the person is being filled with the Holy Spirit or filled with the things of this world. And the second thing that we can see here is not only being filled with the Holy Spirit and how we react to the filling of the Holy Spirit, but that filling of the Holy Spirit enables us to be able to have the fruit of the Holy Spirit as well. Galatians, the book before Ephesians, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, very familiar verse.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law.
If you are filled with the Holy Spirit of God, if you have your candle being lit by the Spirit of God, you will be able to produce the fruit of the Spirit. That is the result of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Result of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit will be revealed externally. A tree is known by its fruit, Jesus said. A tree is known by its fruit. What kind of fruit are you generating? Rotten fruits? Foul-smelled fruits? What kind of fruit are we generating? The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is not fruits, fruit. Single. That one fruit has all the qualities. It is like telling an orange is orange in color. It has a peel. Even the outer peel has good qualities. You know, in small days we used to press it to put something in our eyes. And it has some good qualities. When you open them, each one, as you keep opening, it's juicy. Lot of qualities of that one orange. It looks this way. It tastes this way. It produces this, etc. I'm just giving an example. Similarly, the fruit, one fruit, that fruit of the Holy Spirit of God is love. Starts with love. Last week we meditated on how love is like fire. How you should love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love others as Christ has loved you. Love, joy, peace, patience. That is how you will know whether the other person is filled with the Holy Spirit or not. When the other person doesn't show love, when the other person doesn't have the joy of the Lord, doesn't have peace that passeth all understanding, is not patient enough to handle things, is not kind enough to be able to help others, is not good enough or faithful enough, gentle, having self-control, controlling yourself, control. If we do not have that self-control, I don't know what will happen to the things of this world. Your family will be devastating. Your work life will be devastating. In your own situations, the self-control is one of the fruit of the Spirit. If some person is not having that self-control or love or joy or peace, remember, question yourself whether you are filled with the Holy Spirit or not. We need to be controlled by the Spirit of God, not by the things of this world. Just to explain to us about this aspect of the situations that we have read about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Very quickly, if you have a few minutes, I just want to share from the book of Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Notice this carefully. If you are having some kind of questions as well, let's try to see if we can try to understand what is this. Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit, gave orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. And he says in verse 5, "For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Who said this? Jesus said that. John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Maybe they might have asked this question, what does it mean to be baptized with the Holy Spirit? Immediately you see, in verse 8, Jesus only says how he is trying to explain this experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit of God, baptism with the Holy Spirit. Verse 8, please read. When you have the experience of the baptism with the Holy Spirit, you will have the Holy Spirit upon you. When the power and the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you will be my witnesses. That is one of the ways in which you will know whether you have the experience of the Holy Spirit of God within you or not, is if you are a witness. To be a witness for Christ. This is why I'm not saying anything other than the words of Jesus Christ. You will be, he starts in verse 5, that you will be baptized not many days from now. And in verse 8, he says, you will receive power. The power that you will experience, the power of God within you, that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, that you will be his witnesses. And then you will see, after a few days, what happens in chapter 2. In chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, they were all together in one place. The unity is essential. In verse 2, suddenly there came upon from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire. Cloven tongues, it says in King James Version. Tongues as of fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And in verse 4, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit that Jesus promised in Acts chapter 1 verse 5. And when he says that you have the power and you will have the Holy Spirit of God upon you, that experience is explained in chapter 2. And that experience is explained as verse 4. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began with speaking in other languages as the Spirit was giving them utterance. And people were able to understand those languages as well. And in this particular sense, they are saying, how can they speak in our own language? In verse 8, he says. And then they were misunderstood. They misunderstood. And they were saying that these people are filled with wine in verse 13. Acts chapter 2 and verse 13. And then Peter gets up with the power of the Holy Spirit, where he was afraid. When Jesus was there, he denied Christ Jesus 3 times. Now he had the power. When the Holy Spirit is upon you, you will have power and you will be my witnesses. Sakshalu. In verse 14, he became a witness of Jesus Christ. And when he had given, have experienced it, now in verse 33 he says, chapter 2 and verse 33, therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God, having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, the same promise that Jesus spoke in Acts chapter 5, 1 verse 5, they have received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit. He has poured forth this which you both see and hear. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit of God, you will be able to see that in a person. You will be able to hear what that person speaks also because of the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. My dear, it is very essential to be able to have that experience. And when that experience happens, in Acts chapter 2, they were waiting in those days. But now, do we have to wait? Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, Peter says, enough. Now Jesus Christ, whatever he has promised, he has given to every one of us. And now when you go through the experience of repentance itself, you will experience the gift of the Holy Spirit of God. In verse 38, repent and each one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The baptism which is associated with Christ's death. In Romans chapter 6, it says, you were baptized into his death and you were buried with him and you rose again just as Jesus Christ rose again. It is an experience that you should have. It can be expressed in the form of water baptism, but it has to be first experienced. And that experience comes through repentance and being able to recognize that Jesus Christ has died for me on the cross. During John's baptism, there was nothing that was talked about Jesus dying because Jesus didn't die yet. John's baptism, when that happened, Jesus did not die for the sins of the world as yet. But now in this present day world that we are in, Jesus died. And we need to be baptized into his death. Romans chapter 6 says that. If you want, you can read it later on. We need to be baptized into his death. And that is the experience that we should have. And now, as you experience the repentance of our sins, and secondly, to recognize that Jesus died for my sins, he was buried and rose again. That is what the baptism in his death, burial, and resurrection. The Bible says here, not my words, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, for the forgiveness of your sins, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The early church had to wait. But for us, those of us who have that experience of repentance, we should be able to experience the power of the Holy Spirit of God within us. It's just that we do not want to exercise that power of the Holy Spirit. And that is where every believer goes through it. They say, oh, I'm born again. But where is the power? Where is the power of the Holy Spirit within you? Oh, I don't know. I'm just, how can you be a witness for Christ? If you are born again, you will be a witness for Christ. You will have the power of the Holy Spirit of God. As I keep telling, the moment you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior with repentance and everything, you will have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. He'll become a resident in your life, indwelling. But make him a president of your life. Not just resident. Oh, Holy Spirit of God, at a corner. I'll take care of my life. You just stay. I'm a born-again believer, but I will make my own decisions. No, that won't work. He not only should be a resident of your life, he should be a president of your life. He should preside over your life. He should take control over your life. You give him the throne. Let him sit on the throne. You don't sit on the throne. And that is how you can experience the wondrous thing. And as you keep reading the book of Acts, last Friday night, we have meditated on the book of Acts from prayer perspective. This time, please read the same book from the wonderful way of the person and work of the Holy Spirit perspective. You will learn many lessons. We have meditated upon it during the Bible series also. How wonderfully people had to go through so much. They went through John's baptism, but they were not able to experience the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives. They were not baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And they had to go through it. But now, for those of us in this New Testament world that we are in, we want to experience the repentance and understanding that Jesus died for us in order to be able to experience the power of the Holy Spirit. And when we do the water baptism also, we say, we baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, to be able to experience the power of the Holy Spirit of God in your lives. You don't need to wait all the while to say, because he is saying that you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's just that you are not able to exercise the power of the Holy Spirit in your lives. And for that, You need to question yourself, Lord, am I really being able to live out the way I need to live? If you're not living out the way you have to live, you may claim to be a believer in Jesus Christ, but you don't have the power of salvation. Have the power of salvation that God has given us. Why should you be afraid of the things of this world when you have Christ in you? He has sealed us. He has given us a guarantee. He has put a deposit on us to say, this is my possession. When you have such a kind of experience, what is it that is unable to cause you to live out for him with the power that he has given? Live on fire. Be a people of fire, on fire. And you should have that experience, my dear. So for that, I'm going to challenge you with three things. What is your response? The first response as to what you could be able to say is Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7 and verse 51. Please read.
You men who are stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears are always resisting the Holy Spirit, you are doing just as your fathers did.
Stephen, when he was going through so much of things that people are ready to stone him, what was he doing? He was bold enough to be a witness of Lord Jesus Christ. That is what he promised. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. When you have the power and the pouring of the Holy Spirit upon you, you will be my witnesses. When you are a witness, even you can live, you are ready to give your life for Christ Jesus. Stephen did that. And when he did that, he said one word in verse 51. Why are you resisting the Holy Spirit? Do not resist the Spirit. The first thing that we can learn about our response is, do not resist the Spirit. Maybe the Spirit of God is speaking to you right now. Maybe the Spirit of God is convicting you right now to be able to say, oh, I understand that I should not be like this. I should live out in a better life. But maybe you're resisting. No, not today. Not today. No. You know, what does resist mean? What does resist mean? You're trying to push it back. No. How long are you going to resist the Holy Spirit of God? The Spirit of God wants to reside in you. He wants you to experience the repentance and the power that he gives you through the forgiveness of our sins. But we are resisting the Holy Spirit. Do not resist the Holy Spirit. Do not resist, my dear. In 1 Thessalonians, verse chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Please read.
For God has not called us for the purpose of impurity, but in sanctification. So he who rejects this is not rejecting man, but the God who gives his Holy Spirit to you.
Yeah. You need to go through sanctification, salvation. Acts chapter 7 verse 51. Those of us who are saved, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 7 and 8, it says, God has called us to sanctification, holiness. Are you maintaining a holy life? Are you maintaining a holy life? Oh, I'm born again. Easy to say that. Do you have the Holy Spirit of God within you? If you have the Holy Spirit of God within you, are you rejecting or resisting the Holy Spirit of God? In verse 7 and 8, he says, he who rejects sanctification is not rejecting man. You're not rejecting me, my dear. You are rejecting God who gives the Holy Spirit. Second thing that we can understand is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 19. All of us, let us read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 19. Quench not the Spirit. Do not quench the Spirit. The second thing that you can note it down is, first, do not resist the Spirit. Second is, do not quench the Spirit. When do you use the word quench? Quench. What does quench mean? Oh, this is a tough word. I never heard of this English word, you might say. Thirst, you're saying. What is if there's something burning within us, quench means arpakudi. When do you quench? If there is a fire and you are blowing it out, do not quench the Spirit. Atmanu arpakudi. In other words, it says that we should be cautious in how we are living our lives with the presence of God within us. He has lit the candle of our spirit. And we have to be cautious not to let the Spirit of God be quenched. Meaning, oh, it's going this way. Oh, I want to be cautious of how my spirit is being lit with the Spirit of God. If you are claiming to be children of God, you will not keep quenching the Spirit of God. Quenching, no, I don't want, Spirit of God is telling me to be sanctified, I have to be holy, I should not get into this temptation. If I keep on letting it go, that means I am resisting, I am to the point of quenching the Spirit. And that is why Holy Spirit of God is like fire. And we have to be cautious not to quench the fire that He is putting in our lives. And thirdly, Ephesians chapter 4. And verse 30. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. Please read.
Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption.
Please read in any other language. 4:30, Ephesians. Dukkha parachakadi. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Who gets grieved? A thing will never get grieved. Something you called it, will never get grieved. A person will get grieved. That is why Holy Spirit is a person. The Bible says, do not grieve the Spirit. Grieving. Don't cause so much of grief to our God who is within us. God will say, oh, I want to build you, my dear. I want to cleanse you. Why are you resisting me? Why are you quenching me? Why are you grieving me? Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, my dear. You are sealed for the day of redemption. Don't grieve. Don't grieve the Spirit. As and when we keep resisting and quenching the Spirit of God, we are grieving the Spirit of God. Remember that. Next time when we yield to temptations in our lives, in spite of the Spirit of God keeping on telling, watch out, don't do that. Don't try to use that word. Don't talk like that. Don't send a word like that. Don't visit that place. And if you keep doing it, you are grieving the Holy Spirit of God. If you read the verse above, in verse 29, in the context that we are learning, if you read the whole verse, chapter in verse 17 onwards, there are many things that we can learn. In verse 29, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such as a word is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Now you see the context? The way we talk, the way we act, the way we behave. These are all representations of resisting, rejecting, quenching, grieving the Holy Spirit. You need to have Holy Spirit within you. But you need to be able to live it out the way. As you are on fire. Imagine fire inside in you. How much you will be going here and there. I want to be a witness for Christ. But if you are keeping on suppressing, oh, Holy Spirit of God, I will cover you under a basket. No, just live there. I don't care. I don't even want to tell people that I have my candle burning. What is it? What are we doing? Let us be a witness for Christ. And maybe you are resisting the Holy Spirit of God right now. Maybe you have been coming to the church regularly, but maybe your candle is not burning. I'm asking you, my dear brother and sister, is your candle lit? That's a question for the day. Is your candle lit? If it is lit, how are you keeping that candle? Are you showing that candle out and say, hey, see, the candle is burning. I want to help you also have that burning candle in you. Or are you saying, oh, somebody, some non-believer came, oh, I'll just cover it. Ha, how are you? I don't even want to show my candle. How are you? Dave, you did a great job. Yes, thank you, I did a great job. You don't even tell that God has done in my life. You want to cover that candle. Watch out, my dear. Maybe there are things that are happening in our lives, maybe because we are grieving the Holy Spirit. Maybe we are quenching the Holy Spirit. Maybe we are resisting the Holy Spirit. As we meditate on this word today, I'm challenging you, including myself, that we need to live out the way God wants us to live. To have that experience of being born again and baptized, sealed and sanctified, filled and having the fruit of the Spirit in such a manner that I do not resist the Spirit, do not quench the Spirit, and do not grieve the Spirit. May the Lord bless this word.